Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Michelle Obama has more balls than Lance Armstrong. What did Lance Armstrong do to deserve that?
Obviously. There's no question. Long before the Daily Wire ever existed, I was drinking with Andrew Klavan. And now we've come full circle. But before we get to the guest of this episode, you need to go get this game. Yes or no? The greatest interview show ever in the history of recreation is available right now, dailywire.com/shop. It is the perfect Christmas present. It's ideal for Thanksgiving. It is a terrific Arbor Day gift for any holiday of the year. Go to dailywire.com/shop, and you can get the Conspiracy Theory Expansion Pack, which is even better. 110 plus new cards. You can find out even more about your friends and your family, and you can destroy those relationships just as you delve and plumb their depths. So head on over right now, dailywire.com/shop. Drew.
Hey.
Cheers to your health.
Thank you very much.
It's a very familiar...
I should warn you, when I drink in the middle of the day, I do vomit copiously.
Good. Well, then you've got to make sure that you get the questions right.
Okay.
Or wrong.
Okay.
Because the rules are, if you get the question right, you get to drink. And if you get the question wrong, you have to drink.
I see. There's a high-stakes game.
The high-stakes game. All right. You will move my glass to whichever answer you think I would give.
Okay.
And vice versa. And by the way, we might want to let the audience in on something here. We know each other very well.
Yeah.
We've been in each other's heads many times.
True.
I started my career here.
Yes.
Writing. That's right. As you on social media.
Doing it so well that, and I'm not joking, I used to look at your tweets. It was on Twitter to find out what I sounded like. I would say, like, I've forgotten who I am now.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, just to prove it to them.
Yeah.
You and I are so close, we can almost finish each other's sandwiches. All right. Okay, I'm going to begin, then right. You'll go, and we'll go back and forth until we're lying on the floor.
I got it. I'm already lying on the floor. Yeah.
Michael Knowles peaked when he was the cultural correspondent on The Andrew Klavan Show.
That's the question?
That's the prompt.
And I'm supposed to say your
my answer.
Your answer.
Yeah.
You peaked when you were, I mean... Okay, so I just have to say what you would say.
Yes. Good point. I peaked when I became an international cigar salesman.
I knew that was your big moment, but you certainly got that absolutely right. I thought that was the only thing you've ever done that entertained me in any way, shape, or informed me in any way.
In any way. Yeah. And I was thinking the other day of how that all began.
Yeah.
How you gave me my break.
I did.
In all political media. And the way...
I know. I've never forgiven myself.
The way you did it was because I had seen a movie that weekend called Sausage Party about a cartoon hot dog.
Yeah.
And you asked me to come on the show to talk about aforementioned cartoon hot dog.
You were actually good. I actually put you on the show because you were good. You actually were an entertaining thing. What happened to you?
I peaked. I peaked is what happened. You're up.
No, I still drinking. Wait.
Still dry. No, I don't want to interrupt that.
Michelle Obama has more balls than Lance Armstrong. What did Lance Armstrong do to deserve that?
Yeah, well, he got sick.
No,
I think.
He did get sick.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's too soon that to make a joke. I mean, he survived.
No, that's cruel.
Obvious. Right? There's no question.
I'm not.
If it had been some kind of conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm not saying Michelle Obama is a guy.
You're only mouthing it.
I'm mouthing it. That's right. It's less.
The only way to save the country is to get married and bang your wife, but only in that order. Who writes this?
You did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I want you to know, I did a book thing for my book, The House of Love and Death, which you should all be by. I did a thing at the Mysterious Bookshop, and it was packed. And people kept coming up to me. Guys kept coming up to me with their pregnant wife and saying, see, I did it. I'm saving the country. I thought I didn't give that specific instructions. I thought I'm glad you figured out how to do it.
And in that order. Okay, yeah. So I've got to guess how you, well, I know how you would answer.
Well, yeah, that's the obvious. I got it wrong.
You got it wrong. And do you know, only because of you're generally right, but there's one exception, which is religious vocation. We also need monks and nuns, and I want to get a point on the board. That's the other thing. I want to finally score a point. That one goes to me, I want to be very clear, on a religious technicality.
I was going to say outside the Vatican, you know.
Yeah. What we're going to end up having to do, I mean, not us because of the wives and the kids and everything, but it's going to be like Benedict running off to the hills, you know, the hinterlands when all of the institutions are flooded with madness. And then, you know, things will recover,
but
or it'll be the end of days.
Isn't the church like falling apart? Is that me? I just keep
the bad news is the church is falling apart.
Okay,
it's a complete disaster.
And the Pope is the Antichrist.
It is. Listen, you've said it. I didn't.
No, I'm not. I just thought that was obvious.
But the good news. Yeah. That's always the case. Oh. Isn't it? You know, hasn't it been the case? To quote Hilaire Belloc, I have to take it as a matter of faith that the church is divinely instituted. One proof for the non-believer is that no other institution conducted with such knavish imbecility would have lasted a fortnight.
What about the American government?
Well, that made it 200 years. We'll see. Maybe it gets to 201. Okay.
All right. It's my turn. Right?
No, it's your turn.
Yeah. All right. See, he's peaked. Mm-hmm. Cameron Winter. Thing, you know, could be played by a black guy and it wouldn't change the character or story, but Andrew made him a cis white guy for some reason. Mm. So it's to say what you would say.
Like. Yes.
Okay. Damn, you're right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of course. Kirk Cameron's a white guy.
No.
What was the question?
Cameron Winter.
Oh,
the character
in
the House of Love and
Death,
my book that you're supposed to be about.
It's right. Yeah, you can't.
No,
he would be a Latina woman if you were to make the Disney movie.
You know, a producer called me up just 2 days ago and asked me if the movie rights were, and I was talking to him, and just I didn't want to just say to him, like, you know, I'm not signing anything until he's white.
I just want to be perfectly clear here.
I didn't want to put him off that quickly.
Yeah. And so he called you, which means that when he hung up the phone, is that when he decided to Google you? Or?
That's what I was thinking. Well, you know what I said to him? He said, where are you living? I told him where I was living. He said, why? I said, I work at the Daily Wire. And he just got this kind of little embarrassed kind of pout on his face.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows?
Well, it's nice to receive exactly one phone call about the movie rights to your book.
Absolutely true. My agent, who was a far left guy, no longer my agent, but he read this book. He loved this book.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to sell this book. I said, you'll never sell it. I've been blacklisted. He came back months later. I've shown this book to over 100 people. We didn't even get a nibble, and it's so good. And I said, because I'm blacklisted. No, they would never blacklist.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're... You're listed of color.
Yeah, that's right.
Right now, go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles. What do green eggs and your Christmas dinner have in common? They both need a ham to be complete. Not just any ham, but a spiral-cut heritage pork masterpiece from Good Ranchers. That's the kind of ham that'll steal the show at your family gathering. Guess what? You get it for free with any Good Ranchers subscription. That's a whopping $99 value that you get for free in your first order. You know what I had last night? Juicy, delicious chicken. You know where I get my chicken and my steak and all my meat, basically, is from Good Ranchers. And it is just the best stuff out there. The price is unbelievable. You get freebies like this $99 ham. It's just completely insane. Simply subscribe to any box. You will get your totally free Christmas ham included in any order. The subscription is amazing. You get $25 off every order, a free gift in every third box, and free shipping on express delivery. The best part is knowing exactly where your meat comes from, and that is through a local American farm. Here's the scoop. GoodRanchers.com. Subscribe today with code Knowles to claim your free limited stock Christmas ham before they sell out. Act fast. This offer won't last forever. Head on over to GoodRanchers.com. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, when you subscribe to get your free 10-pound Christmas ham. Don't settle for the old holiday fare. Elevate your feast with Good Ranchers this year. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Being Anglican is like playing air guitar. You have an idea what you're imitating, but it's not the real thing.
It's easy.
It's easy for me.
Yeah. Do you go first when you read it? Is
that no, we could do it. Do it simultaneously. I'm going to say yes. No, okay. All right, look, I didn't know if there was some deep esoteric you were going to convert Swim the Tiber on this show, get the ratings up.
No, I actually believe that the church is universal, you know, that there are various churches that count. The Orthodox Church, my particular church, which is about 15 people.
Exactly, yeah, and none of
them.
Okay,
your church.
That one will be lumped into the ordinariate at some point, sooner or later anyway.
Exactly.
And by the way, we're going to heal the East-West schism. I'm only half joking when I say that. No, I think we could heal it.
I agree. It's God's church. He'll bring it together when he's ready.
Yeah.
You'll be left out.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically, yeah.
See, but guys, we resolved the filioque. Shut up, Michael. Daddy, no one wants you.
He'll be chasing after me.
Yeah.
Me. Okay. Here we go. Huh. Someone will eventually leak the Jeffrey Epstein client list. I better leave the country.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the Jeffrey Epstein client. Right.
Someone will eventually leak the Jeffrey Epstein client list. What did you say?
Wrong. I think no. So I think no, and you think yes.
Yeah. I think somebody will eventually leak it.
It has been 60 years since the JFK assassination.
True.
And we were told by congressional order we were going to get all the CIA files in 95. The year of our Lord, 2023, we get a little nibble here or there. About, maybe they were doing some surveillance on Lee Harvey Oswald.
First of all, Lee Harvey Oswald was killed by a communist, one communist guy, and all the CIA stuff is...
So JFK was killed by one communist guy.
JFK. Oh, who were you talking about?
JFK. Lee Harvey Oswald. And then Lee Harvey Oswald was killed by one
CIA
patsy for the CIA. Yeah. Right.
Because they didn't want to tell him that they had been giving the guy money or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the Clintons can't live forever.
Mm.
And that's really what's in the way. Mm. Right?
Do you think, though, if I assume Jeffrey Epstein was mobbed up with intelligence?
I think so.
I think it's almost guaranteed.
Yes.
And will the intelligence agencies allow that information out?
That's a good question. That's a fair question. Yeah. I mean, I think it really does depend. Like, what was this guy? We really don't know, like, what this guy was doing. Like, I actually read James Patterson's book on the thing. Yeah. You know, the big mystery writer, and he's a billionaire, so he...
Does he write his own books, even? I don't know. No way.
But he gives people credit for writing them, you know. But I read it, and it didn't tell you anything except, like, you know, what he would do to these women. And I thought, come on, what the hell was he up to?
Right. I actually don't care about the women stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's only like five things you can do anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, to quote Norm Macdonald, you think you invented a sixth thing. It's really actually just three and five together.
Right.
But I would like to know. We know the big, we know Bill Clinton, obviously. Yeah. We know Prince Andrew, we know. Yeah. But what about those other guys?
Yeah, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates,
And here's another question I have. Why is it that Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein both had deformed genitalia?
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Right.
Is that something that like makes you want to like abuse underage girls?
Right. That's right. When it came out, this was totally buried by the press, but it came out in the Harvey Weinstein court docs that he is vaguely hermaphroditic.
Yes.
It's a genital deformity, but he could be identified as intersex.
Really?
Yes, which the intersex and her hermaphroditism is kind of overstated
because
usually you can tell it's one or the other.
Yeah.
But that I noticed the pro trans left kind of went real mum about that one. It's, never look over it. Pay no attention to the man behind the orange jumpsuit.
No, those are two very weird stories.
Yeah.
I mean, Harvey Weinstein I don't think is as weird as Jeffrey Epstein. And the fact that he could be murdered. Like that is a story out of Suetonius, out of ancient Rome. The fact that he could be murdered in a facility, a safe facility, a max security facility, with cameras and guards and supposedly a cellmate.
And all Hillary needed was the Groucho glasses. That's the craziest part.
The funny nose.
Crazy. Well, truth.
The late Jeffrey.
Yeah. You can be a good Christian and actively support the full official Democratic Party platform.
It's no possibility.
It's not possible.
No.
It's not, you know, in particular, really just abortion.
Just abortion.
Right. Yeah. You cannot. I mean, I think virtually every self-identified Christian is on board with this. But also if you're Catholic, the popes have been pretty clear.
I just don't understand how you can call yourself an actual Christian and I can understand almost anything else. You're killing babies.
You're killing babies. I mean, the right to life is not just one right among many. It is the prerequisite
for all the other
rights. Yeah. But all the other stuff too. I mean, even the trans stuff.
Is that on the platform? I guess it is.
These days, probably. I think these days, you know, they're going to build an idol to Osama bin Laden soon enough.
Well, not only that, they may actually be like worshiping Satan. They actually do worship Satan. You know what I'm saying?
that's the thing. Yeah.
A little tough to include that in your Christian liturgy.
You're up.
All right. Here we go. Tessa was far less attractive before Genucel.
Wow, there's no way to answer this in a way that doesn't get us in trouble. Either we're saying that our beloved colleague Tessa is hot, which is going to get us in trouble with HR, or we're going to say that she wasn't hot previously, so we're insulting the woman's looks.
Right.
How do you I don't know how to answer that.
I know how to answer it. I know how I would.
Now, also, one way you answer will make our advertiser really happy, and one way will not will make our advertiser angry.
Yeah.
If we,
I know, but there's only one right answer.
Okay. All right. Let's see. the question was, or the statement was, Tessa
was far less attractive before Jenison.
Okay, well, I know your answer, but I'm going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say Tessa
was far less attractive.
Far less attractive because Drew, Genucel came on right around the time that Tessa got married.
Yes.
And Tessa, who is a physically beautiful woman,
she's spectacular.
She became all the more beautiful, actually. When she was married.
They were talking about her soul.
But, you know, I like, just don't want to get in trouble, Drew. I don't. Come on.
Such a wimp, I can't just say. A coward.
Well, in any case, I'll drink to forget the question.
Here's to Tessa.
To Tessa. And to Genucel.
And to Genucel, yeah. She does love this stuff.
Right now, go to genucel.com/Knowles. I've got a holiday gift idea that will make you the hero of the season. We all know that the Christmas season can be hectic, the shopping, the cooking, the never-ending list of things to do. But I have discovered a gift that is both thoughtful and transformative. That is the gift of Genucel Skincare. From now until Christmas, Genucel's most popular package has a special discount just for our listeners at genucel.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Treat yourself and your loved ones to the best skincare in the world. Those troubling forehead wrinkles, fine lines, skin redness, and sagging jawline will disappear right before your eyes with Genucel's most popular collection. Genucel promises immediate effects. You will see results in less than 12 hours guaranteed or your money back. You deserve to look and feel your best this Christmas season. You know, I love the founder of this company, Coptic Christian from Egypt, left for the American dream. I love the product. They use only the top quality ingredients. Go to genucel.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to get this incredible discount. Every order today is instantly upgraded to free express shipping. genucel.com/Knowles today.
Okay. It is more likely that the Great Pyramids of Giza predate the flood and were built by Nephilim or with other supernatural direction than that the prevailing narrative pushed by the experts is true. Come on, you made me, you were so confident in mine that I...
Because I know you're nuts.
Right? Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. You're right. Darn, I'm going to lose this game, aren't I?
Can you actually lose this game? Is there something keeping score?
I am convinced somewhere. Oh. Look at our hands.
This is great. Mm-hmm. We do the whole show like this.
Well, there we are. If you told me that the pyramids are 50,000 years old, yeah, I would believe you. If you told me that the pyramids were built by pagan civilizations just worshiping demons and the demons actively guiding their hands, I would believe you. I'd be much more likely to believe you than if you told me, you know, they had like a lever or something.
They had a bunch of slaves pulling, like, Jewish guys.
But Jewish guys aren't that beefy. I mean, the ones in the IDF are.
Yeah, exactly.
But back in those days. It's that. Okay, yeah, all right. All right, maybe. Maybe. I keep an open mind.
All right.
I'm glad. Whether I got that right or wrong, I'm glad that we could at least.
Yes, and I have to say that I'm shocked that we're actually keeping score.
I'm not. I mean, I don't see the score anywhere.
To more emphatically push back on the woke nonsense in Disney's upcoming live-action Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Jeremy should go all the way against political correctness and title it Snow White and the Seven Midgets.
Is midgets the least politically correct word for a little person?
No, because a dwarf and a midget are two different things.
Are they?
Yes.
What's the difference? One is a mythical woodland creature. One is a sort of short fellow.
Yeah. No, one is a short person, and the other is a short person, but is kind of malformed.
Mm.
I do believe there's a difference.
So, right, one has sort of ordinary proportions.
Yes,
and one is. Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's true. I've noticed that distinction.
Yeah. I think it should be called Snow White and the Seven White Guys.
Snow White and the Seven perfectly ordinary straight white men.
Even whiter.
Snow White and the whiter guys. Okay, so the answer is no.
Yeah, you have to go no.
But I think our solution would be really
Yes, of course. No. In fact, it should just be called White White and the White White White.
I've been calling the new one Sand Beige. Sand Beige and the Seven Tall Men.
Seven ordinarily proportioned.
Ordinarily proportioned tall men. Michael Knowles embracing the dad bod in his early 30s. Yeah, real nice. Real nice. Yeah. I think I look actually pretty good. Thank you. Embracing the dad bod in his early 30s is disgusting and disordered. It's kind of like if Michelangelo saw a marble block and said, let's just slap some pasta and whiskey on it. It's perfect the way it is. Who wrote this?
Who the hell wrote this? I mean, insulting, but undeniable.
Right? So I got your answer right. I'm trying to think about what I think about this. All right, we can put it in this. That's fine. I'm of two minds here. One, I think it's weird that men obsess over their physique like women. So men, like gym rat men, I think actually are a little too vain and somewhat womanish. But the old ancient Greeks, they understood that virtue is not merely an intellectual
right
endeavor. It's physical as well. And if I really were interested in full arete, I would lift a weight every now and again. So I agree.
I have to say that especially some of us, those of us who have aged, it is a good thing to stay in shape.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, I don't watch what I eat.
Yeah. You smoke.
That's the plus because it suppresses the appetite. So I don't become a big fat guy. So that's the one health benefit I have. Yeah. Plus we know nicotine is good for you. Oh, did you know
great.
That?
Great.
It is. No, it's an, I was talking to your son, no relation to you, Spencer Klavan, and he told me that he believes we will live to see a day when nicotine is looked on as a health substance.
He does believe that. Yeah. What contradicts him is after the discovery of America, where they start to send home tobacco, every English king died of jaw cancer. That's how I love it.
Yeah, but look, that's an anomaly. Isn't that? Correlation is not. I'm starting to realize correlation is causation.
It's probably.
It's like a lib slogan. Yeah, it's
true, Is it me, you?
You.
Me. All right. Allowing attractive women into the workplace is more dangerous than letting a pit bull babysit your toddler.
Well, you're pretty outspoken against pit bulls, too.
It's a question of, is it more dangerous?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously.
Of course.
I assume we're violating a lot of NLRB statutes here, but it's not good for anybody.
I don't think women should be in the workplace at all.
Of course not.
Until maybe a year before they get married,
yes.
Start having children. It's like, it's ridiculous.
For what? Yeah. Does it make women happier?
No.
No. No.
And like this thing where they come back to work after they have children.
Yeah.
Like, stay home, take care of your children. And by the way, eventually your children grow up.
Yeah.
And then you can start to enter the workplace. You
know? Right.
And
yes.
And you won't disturb
people. Yeah, I'm not opposed to, but you're so right. Like for what? For every fictional story I hear of a woman who really just wanted, her dream was to make widgets and she was kept from that by the patriarchy. I have so many female friends who got lured into all the BS, put your career first.
Yes.
And you know, then they say, they despair. They say, I can't find a husband. I can't get married. I can't have kids.
You know, I was at my priest's birthday party, and this woman sat down across from me and just started talking to me about her life. And she had a new baby, and her husband. And she said, you know, they told me to go to work and then get married as if getting married was easy, as if it were easy to find somebody. She said, it was so hard, and I, you know, like, I didn't care about my work at all, and all I care about is my baby. And they all, you know, why wouldn't you? How much of work is, like, you know, nonsense?
Right.
And you're raising a child, and, you know.
When, you know, I remember I was talking to my father-in-law years ago.
Yeah.
I said, well, what thing that you've done are you proudest of? And he said, well, my kids, my kids. And I thought, as a guy in his early 20s, I thought, okay, that's just the pat answer that an old guy gives.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And then I had a kid, and within 5 seconds, I realized, oh, right, nothing. Look, not to downplay my blank book, which is a magnum opus and will endure for ages, but...
Cigars are good, man.
The cigars are good. And those you set on fire, and then they turn to ash.
Right.
But I was at the birth of my first son. My wife is delivering the baby. I'm delivering my manuscript on my book with words, which I really labored over and cared a lot about.
Yeah.
They were both due on the same day. You roll them up, actually. And I thought, oh, you're delivering your baby. I'm delivering my baby that I've been working on for 9 months or really over that, probably double that time. And I thought, and I'm not downplaying my book. I think it's a good book. This is nothing. This is nothing compared to what is happening.
It's our pale imitation of what they're doing. You know?
Yeah.
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 And the thing is, I really do feel that because of that, we as men, as a breed of people, have purposely denigrated what women do.
Yeah.
Oh, they just take care of the house. And I was like, all I know is, like, go up to a guy who's bigger than you and insult his mother.
Yeah.
And when you recover in the hospital, right?
Right.
You think this is something that matters to people. People like, adore their mothers.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great point.
Well, now they're nannies.
It's just capitalism, huh?
I think it's you.
I'm up. Yeah. I've read all three of the Cameron Winter mysteries.
I know this for a fact.
Hey, okay, hey. I think you've probably read them. Now, in fairness, I have maybe read more Andrew Clavin novels. I've certainly willingly read more Andrew Clavin novels than maybe all the novels I've ever read combined. I mean,
You have finished one of my novels?
Ever? Oh yes. Oh, yeah. I've actually read a number, not a lot. Like, yeah. I don't know, like five or yeah. tops. You
oh,
know?
Wow. All right. That's actually
but,
a lot. Yeah.
But I'm not saying I hate novels.
No, you don't read novels.
I don't read them.
Yeah.
I just, even
yeah.
great novels, yeah. even sometimes for the book club, I'm assigned novels. I do it yeah. for, every time I finish a great novel, I think, oh, that was great. Every time I finish one of your books, I'm not puffing you up. They're just excellent. And they're like beautiful. I have, this is going to sound so
yeah. Go ahead.
Gay. I've like teared up. Read at the ends of your books.
Oh, that's good.
I know, and I'm sorry. This is a confession. But, and yet still, then I put it down. I say, wow, that was a truly edifying, perhaps even sanctifying experience. Well, done with that. Bye. Okay. Time to go read some other dry philosophy on nonsense.
Yeah, there's some men, like, they don't understand what, if they understood what novels were for.
Yeah.
Then they would read them more. But we're a dumb country, so we don't understand that. You know?
Yes.
But novels actually do, if you read them right, if you read them with a true heart,
yeah.
they actually make you a better person.
Yes. I did. I just ordered, because when we go out, have a stogie, maybe a couple of Coca-Colas, you'll say, you have to read this book or that book. And then I often order it immediately.
But you never read.
But they just pile up. So I've got the one, the Monk book.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a fun book. Yeah.
What's that book called?
The Monk.
The Monk by...
It's by Monk Lewis. Lewis. Yeah.
Yes, and that's it's on my nightstand. And
well, you would like that because it's a really interesting Catholic novel.
All right, that pitches
yeah.
it up a little.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm working my way up. I'm reading the Father Brown stories.
Yeah, they're great.
I can do 20 pages yeah. of fiction at a time. Pretty soon, you know. It's kind of why I like poetry. I do read poetry.
Poetry is great.
And poetry, because it tricks me, because I think of a poem as like 14 lines.
Yeah,
and then you get to the end of Dante, and yeah. you think, goodness gracious.
Also,
and it takes a long time.
It takes a long time to read a poem. Yeah. yeah. But I do love poetry. I mean, poetry had a day.
Yeah.
And then it died.
Yeah. It's like, I know. That, I was trying to compose one right now, like a haiku, but it'll take too long.
Me, right?
You're up.
All right, here we go. It is more likely that we will fall into World War III in the next 10 years than not.
Yes.
Yeah?
I can make my argument if you like.
Go ahead.
The term Thucydides trap is overplayed, and most international relations jargon is overplayed. But Graham Allison, the Harvard political scientist, makes this case that of the last however many 19 or 16 to 20 global conflicts, 3/4 of them have ended in war, meaning when a rising power confronted a dominant power, the consequence 3/4 of the time has been in war. So now we face this with the U.S. and China. China, I think, is trying to head it off. And China just recently came out and said, the question is, do you want to be our partner or our adversary? If you want to be our partner, it's a big wide world, there's room for both of us. If you want to be our adversary and stop us from rising, you know, basically we're going to go to war. And I think the United States is bellicose, not intentionally so, but we just kind of stumble into wars, and we're the dominant power on Earth, and so the odds are already so stacked against us. I don't see how. And the civilizations are so different here in the U.S. and China.
Yeah, there's no compromise.
I don't see. There's no compromise. Yeah.
My argument is that we don't destroy our homes until we leave. Like we destroyed Europe after we were gone, you know, and so I think that when the minute Elon Musk sets up a community on Mars,
yeah.
then we'll have World War III.
Mm.
We'll just blow the planet to pieces.
You don't think do you think we could have a World War III without blowing the planet to pieces?
Yeah, we could. We could.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, because nuclear weapons could be used in such a way that they made the planet unlivable, but they could also be used in such a way that millions die and, you know.
Right. That is the thing. People think of it, you know, one nuclear bomb goes off in the whole population. But that's not actually not how it works.
Right, right.
But especially, you know, when you've got the first major war in Europe in Ukraine, then you've got this outbreak of war in the Holy Land that could escalate, though. Well, that's
the scarier one to me.
Well, it's way scarier.
Yeah.
And it's already involves, what, like six powers or seven powers and maybe more soon.
Yeah.
Wait, so did I get that right or not?
You got it wrong.
I got it wrong. Ah.
where's the score?
Yeah, I don't know. But there are my hands.
It's like a Fred Astaire movie.
Really?
With fingers.
Yeah. When you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go? Apparently, you're winning by one.
I'm winning by more than that. Wait a minute.
Listen how greedy he is.
Yes.
Okay. Being invaded by pestilence or being bombarded with noise and production issues on a project is a good sign that you are doing something meaningful.
Ah.
Of course.
Yeah, happens to me all
the caterpillars.
Yeah, the caterpillars. Yeah, and the wasp. This was after when we did Another Kingdom, and I felt it was a sort of God-born.
Without question.
The reason I say this is because I was sitting there thinking I had written a novel that didn't work, and I had the flash I was going to have to throw it away, and suddenly the entire Another Kingdom story came into my mind at once, which never happened to me before since, ever happened, just the whole thing, bang, first bit. And the day that I finished it, that my house was overrun by caterpillars, and then remember we started to record it.
Yeah.
And everything went wrong.
Yeah.
Constantly.
We had to re-record the whole episode.
Yes, the whole thing was just, and then when I moved and I was writing, The Truth and Beauty was coming out, and I was getting ready to promote it and everything like this, a book that was clearly a gift from God, that book.
First time that our Lord, alongside John Keats, had ever
made the
charted
bestseller list.
Yes.
My office was invaded by wasps, so that every day I would come in and there would be five, six wasps in the place. And I thought, like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. They were Episcopalians.
And
they were yelling at you, it's too Romanish. Right.
Yeah.
I was doing an interview with an exorcist, Father.
Yes,
Dan,
I remember this, yeah.
We're sitting there.
Yeah.
And usually on those, I was told I was going to have 25 minutes of no audio problems,
right,
guaranteed. So we're talking, maybe 7 minutes goes by. Oh, there's some audio problem. Got to cut. Cut. Okay. Sorry, Father Rehill. Okay. All right, we're back up again. 7 minutes goes by, same thing. This goes on three, four, to at least four times probably. Mm. And then I look at him. He's a very calm man, very grounded fellow.
Yeah.
I said, Father, does this happen to you often? He goes, Michael, it's a story of my life.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, next time it happens, just roll. Just roll right through it. I don't cut for any reason. Didn't happen again.
Really?
The rest 2-hour interview, didn't happen again.
That's funny. Well, yeah, you know, as you and I have often said to one another in the midst of some long conversation and or drinking bout, this stuff is real.
It's real. It still surprises me that it's real.
Me too, because we're so trained to not believe it.
Yeah.
But it's obviously real. Yeah.
Right.
Because in the same way that, like, mental illness and being demon infested are kind of the same thing, just from seeing from a...
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying there's... I'm not saying that I'm totally confident that they're never separate.
Yes.
But like,
yes,
there would seem to be a lot of similarities.
There would be like a Venn diagram.
Well, like a Venn diagram, like Kamala Harris loves. Yeah, or Venn diagrams. You're right.
Oh, it's me, huh? All right. It is more beneficial for young men or women to listen to Andrew Tate than read Everyday Feminism. That's like...
Arsenic or... You know,
yeah,
cyanide.
Exactly. More beneficial for young men or women to listen to Andrew Tate. I know what I would say. You gotta guess what you would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Grudgingly.
I'm not. Because Andrew Tate derives his power from saying something that is true that he dedicates to evil. The thing that he says is true, basically, is that a woman will follow a strong man, even if he abuses her, before she gives herself to a weakling who pays her all kinds of feminist respect. So he's saying a true thing. So somewhere in there is a true thing that he is using.
He's exploiting.
For evil, right. Because when good people lie, the evil people get the truth, and
right.
that's the power.
Right.
But everyday feminism is just a joke. I mean, it's like, yeah. You know.
Right.
And that's more poison.
The only way that could be edifying is if you go in realizing what a joke it is and
yes,
just treat it like opposite
yes.
day.
I know? Used to use it when I was writing, had to write 4 satires
yes.
a week.
It was like cheating.
Writing 4 satires a week, the hardest single creative act I've ever done. And sometimes I would just take everyday feminism and just read it.
Yes. It's like, hey, can I copy your homework? It won't be too close to what you wrote. You changed 2 words in everyday feminism. Yes. Because Tate reminds me, I hold out hope that Tate will figure things out. I mean, he's a little up there. You know, he's not 22, but, you know, it's never too late. But it reminds me that the greatest saints of history could have been the worst sinners, and vice versa. The worst sinners in history.
That's awfully nice of you.
I just mean, that's I mean,
he's Muslim now, you know.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his. Like, if a guy goes from being an atheist
to being a Muslim,
a Christian,
right?
Yeah, that's great. I'll tell you. At least, you know, the Muslims know that God exists.
No, it's true. That's
right.
As one of them, actually, a town chieftain said to me in Afghanistan. We can talk to the Americans because the Russians had no God, they were animals.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Right. It seems to me, you know, people have different capacities. And there are great and, you know, enormously great,
yes.
meaning wickedly great
yes.
people in history. And it seems to me that, you know, if one of the worst had, if a Stalin or somebody
yeah.
had just gotten his will and his intellect right, gone in the right direction, he could have been one of the greatest saints of history. Likewise, I think, you know, Saint Benedict or somebody could have been one of the worst sinners if he turned the wrong way.
You know, your argument is good. I'm not sure it applies to Tate because he's kind of a, you know, he's a pimp. You know, it's like...
He's a pimp.
Yeah.
He's a pimp. Though he says he gave up pimping.
Yeah.
Probably because it ain't easy. But I don't know. I mean, you know, he also lied about that, though. He lied and
yeah.
tried to make it seem like he had... Yeah. Been doing that much longer ago. And I mean, that's really wicked
but
stuff.
But I admire your open-heartedness.
I try. I listen.
Yeah.
I'm...
That's, yeah.
I legitimately am...
Yeah. You need to like...
A flaw is a bit of optimism, yeah. And I don't... I know optimism is bad. I know it's bad. It's not. It's like pessimism. Two sides of the same coin.
But seeing the full capacity of the human person, I think, is actually a good thing.
That's... Yeah.
I will praise you.
Though I'll be disappointed, perhaps.
probably. But yeah. But still, I...
Okay.
Nice effort. You get an E for effort.
I would be okay with a female president. Oh, this one's going to get us in trouble.
I would be okay with a female president.
Well, it depends on what the meaning of okay is. It would be okay.
No, I'll say yes.
No, I can still live a holy life, I hope, and go to heaven someday, so I guess I'd be okay.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
I mean, the exception.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, we're very...
Can you think of one other example ever in history?
No. One other... Queen Elizabeth, maybe.
Well, she's a queen. I consider a monarch different than a prime minister
good point.
Or a president.
Let's see. Maggie Thatcher.
Liz Truss.
You know, I believe, and this has nothing to do with the capacities of women, actually, I believe that when women take over a profession, the profession is over. That's
yeah.
what I can tell. So when women become anchor women, the TV news doesn't matter anymore.
Movie directors.
Yeah. And it's not, exactly. It's not because women can't do it. It's because men do it first.
Yeah.
They do everything first. And then they see something new come along and they clear out. And that's when the women move in.
Right.
And so I would just assume Angela Merkel,
right?
The end of Europe, right? That
yeah.
was the end. Of, that was, she ended Europe. I mean,
yeah.
it was like the Germans. It took the Germans 3 tries. They thought like, well, we'll just invade. Then they thought, well, we'll have Hitler. We'll just kill everybody. That didn't work. And then they said, how about a woman chancellor?
But
just destroy.
Open up the gates. Here we go.
Level
baby.
The continent. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's hard to believe, you know, like, but. And we don't have a parliamentary system, which is what it takes to throw up a Churchill or a Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
So probably we'd be screwed. But
yeah.
you have to hold out the theoretical hope.
Yes. And we, and it's really just like, it's sort of like answering, I'd be okay if the Hun invaded and beheaded us all. You know, like, I'd be, my okayness is not contingent on the political circumstances of this fallen world. I guess that's exactly what I'm saying. You're up.
I'm up. All right. Casablanca is better than The Godfather, and they could both be improved on if they were written and directed by young black lesbian women of color. Well, wait, that's two assertions.
That's two. Let's take the first one first.
All right. Casablanca is better than The Godfather. Casablanca is better than The Godfather. Have you seen both movies?
Yeah, of course.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, Casablanca is so much
better. Look, Casablanca is great. I'm not knocking. No,
but it's not great. It's the great film.
It is certainly among the great films. I just recently revisited The Godfather.
It's the greatest movie except for Casablanca.
Look, I'd include, if I actually had to pick the greatest movie ever, yeah. I would throw in there, mostly because I like acting, so yeah. I look for acting. I would throw Streetcar.
Great.
Great. I would maybe throw On the Waterfront. I would throw The Searchers.
Half of it. The thing that takes place back at the house is not that big.
It's a little weak. Yeah. Okay. I would throw in, maybe throw in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Yeah, that's great.
Maybe. That's like maybe like second tier.
Gone with the Wind.
Certainly I would throw in Gone with the Wind. You know, so there are, but I'm now of the opinion, other than my favorite movie, Me, Myself, and Irene, if I had to, taking obviously that masterpiece aside, I might be willing to say that The Godfather, the first one.
Yeah, the first one is the great one. Yeah.
It might be the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah, I think it's the greatest movie ever made except for
Casablanca. Okay. Now, hold on. Now, the second question.
Oh, yes.
The second part of it. You don't want to lose the second part of it.
They could both be improved on if they were written and directed by young black lesbian women of color.
Obviously. I don't want to get canceled. I want to keep my show. So, yes. Because the thing is, young black lesbian women of color do everything better. Because white men are the worst people on earth.
Yeah, except for the lack of talent.
you gotta cut that part out. I want to keep my show, man. Okay, I'm up.
All right.
Donald Trump is a good man.
Wow. I know what you would say. That's correct.
You're right, too.
I know why you said it, too. You would say it, too.
Why would I say it?
Because you're a lying dog.
I obviously am accepting the anthropological fact that none is good but God. I'm accepting the fallenness of
both the world. Accept that, right?
I think we're talking relative to presidents and politicians.
Yeah.
I think actually, relative to our degraded state of politicians and leaders, I think he's in the upper 50% in terms of his virtue, actually. I think he raised basically good kids. He got divorced. He's had all sorts of problems. I think he's run a business actually pretty honestly.
He seems to, you know, it's funny that when the one thing about these indictments is they point out that he's never really done anything all that bad.
Yes. I mean, the guy was doing real estate in New York.
I know, they're charging him with nothing.
Yes. Even in his showbiz career, I think about the evil, hideous things people do in showbiz. Yes. What did he do? He slept with some supermodels, which is like the cost, that's like the first thing you do when you get into big show business. Yeah. I'm not defending all the bad things, but even in his kind of con man-y ways, you know, which have been caricatured so much, there's a kind of honesty to it.
Yeah, no,
and that you know what you're getting.
Those are not the things that bother me about him. I mean, I when he was running the first time, I said this is the first post-Christian candidate, and he was a guy who didn't care. He treated people like garbage. Which, by the way, was bad politics on top
of
it. But I don't know. I was just at the Reagan Ranch. I just gave a speech at the Reagan Ranch. I was thinking about Reagan. And by the way, you know, he was a womanizer and all this stuff. And, you know, but he as a politician, he was so graceful.
Yes.
So decent.
Yeah, of course.
You
know. Of course.
And they told me, like, that they needed to add paving at the top of the ranch for safety, and he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to spend the public money on his safety. And I just thought, yeah, that's another
time. Well, you go, when you go to the ranch, which is pretty cool because it's owned by Yaff, and so it even has to be zoned as a private space.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
And he kept, you know, coffee cans full of old nails and screws because he didn't want to buy new ones.
I know.
You know, and he... the man obviously had such class and grace.
Yes.
For even by the standards of his time, but also it was the 80s. And that was a more graceful and classy time.
Right.
You know, and I just think...
So, for Trump's time, he's a better man.
Than, yeah. Compare, I mean, think about this. We're living in the age of... Joe Biden and AOC and Pelosi.
Yeah,
and,
I'm
grading on a curve. What can I say?
I would say that is a big curve.
Okay. You're up.
I'm up.
Your last one.
For some people, horror films, metal music, or sexually themed art are morally fine to create or enjoy.
Wrong. Put a point up, baby. Let's go. The or is what does it for me.
Yes.
Sexually themed, I mean, it shouldn't be pornography, but but sexually themed is obviously fine.
Of course. And the horror films are not.
Horror films, I think, can be quite good.
There's some great horror
films. The exception to me, if it had been an and, my answer probably would have been no.
Because metal music.
Metal music, I don't think is actually defensible.
I know so little about metal music. It's just the sound of it sounds, it's just the name of it sounds terrible.
What I know of it comes from Plato.
Okay.
And
was he a big metal guy?
He was a huge metal fan, actually. Yeah, it was with
the
Bacalilas.
Yeah.
Balaclavas, bacala. No, hold on. That's the salted sea bass, cod. Percussion, music generally, bypasses the rational faculties.
Right.
And this is why Plato said you got to watch out. This is why Alan Bloom said don't listen to rock music.
Right.
And metal, by taking out discipline and control and melody and harmony, for that matter, and by being entirely percussive, I do think, I'm with the old fuddy-duddies going back to Plato, I think it arouses the base passions and is actually not ever edifying.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm willing to dismiss all music after 1958.
You get 2 years of Elvis in there. Okay. Okay. Hey, wow.
I mean, I just, you know, the lyrics, I just was in the gym, and I'm on the elliptical, and I usually find something to watch. And there was a Fred Astaire movie on TV, and I started watching this movie. First of all, Distilled Joy. No one could make anything today. No one, including me, could make anything today that just distilled joy at that level.
Like, yeah.
You just sat there with this stupid smile on your face.
Yes.
And then the songs were like, you know, there's this great song, Let's Face the Music and Dance.
Yeah, yeah.
So simple, so condensed, you know, and just like, and just on the bridge of poetry, but not trying to be poetry. Because I believe, this is what I believe about rock music. I believe it's actually bad poetry.
Like,
you know, they say Bob Dylan, they gave Bob Dylan the Nobel Prize. And I thought, if poetry is now a decadent art, you know.
Which it is.
But I just don't think any music, pop music, is good.
When I compare the music from the teens, 19-teens through the 50s to 60s and later on.
Yeah.
The other day I was playing, I play my ukulele or a guitar or something almost every night, maybe piano a little.
I'm impressed, by the way.
Thank you. I play every instrument of the sun, other than drums, at the level of a 14-year-old. I've never progressed above that. That was when I stopped. But I was strumming on the ukulele, and because I saw a great bit of Red Fox singing All of Me. You know, all of me, why not take all of me? You know? And so I was just plucking it out on uke. And the progression, I realized, is kind of it's a charming progression. It goes C, E7, A7, D minor, and it's kind of hopping around all over there, you know, and then it kind of closes on a G7, so the 5, and then goes back to the 1. And so I'm playing that, and I said, that sounds kind of familiar. I realized it's another song that Clapton kind of popularized, but it's a much older song, which is Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. And it's almost the same progression. And it's clearly just a popular progression of that era.
Right.
But it's complex. There's actual complexity to it.
I know.
And then I think, well, what is modern rock music? Modern rock music
D-E-F,
is...
D-E-F, right?
Yes. I mean, it's three chords.
Yeah.
It's three chords. It's 1-4-5.
Yeah.
Maybe you throw in a 6 there, which is the relative minor. Maybe if you want to be fancy. But that's it. And so even just, you know, all of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? This is not, you know, the highest degrees of poetry, but at least there's something happening in the music. There's some sophistication going on in the music. Yeah. If it's just dun, 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 you know, and you just think like, well, okay, that's every song since 1962.
And
good grief.
The simplicity of the lyrics.
Yeah.
Mask the sophistication. You know, you took the part that once was my heart is actually a sophisticated lyric.
Right.
And like, you listen to Cole Porter music.
Oh, yeah.
All one-syllable words, you know. I was watching the other day, what is it, the one that takes place on the ship? Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And all through the night. All one syllable words, all through the night, you know. And when dawn comes to waken me, you're never there at all. It's just so beautiful. It's just unbelievably great.
You know? Right.
And I hate to sound like a fuddy-duddy because I understand those. They don't speak. Just in the same way I believe that abstract art is crap, but it does speak into its time, so it is art.
Sure, yeah.
I feel the same way about rock music. You could not write those songs today and make them mean anything, you know, because they actually express something.
I'll go further even on the abstract art point.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for Dada.
Really?
I do, in the sense that I think it speaks into its time.
Well, it does.
And tells you something,
does,
but, you know, and it's like evil, and it's an evil time.
That is the problem. I mean, but you're right. It is art.
Yeah.
You know, and I do feel that way about rock music. It is art.
Yeah.
As opposed to what's happening now. Like, I mean, I have absolutely nothing against Taylor Swift. I don't think she's harmful in any way or anything. But not art, you know. It's like,
no,
it's not
but
speaking
to anything. The positive I'll say about Taylor Swift, though, is because I don't get it. I went to see the movie of her concert tour and all the women in the office were spending zillions of dollars to get the tickets. She's so normal.
Yes.
She's pretty, but she's not.
She's not beautiful. Yeah.
No, she's pretty, and she doesn't have a ton of tattoos, and she's, or like crazy hair or whatever. She's just like pretty, and she sings about her ex-boyfriends. It's the most basic, relatable girl experience ever. And she's grateful. She thanks her fans. Yep. She's nice.
She's nice to
her just like nice, you know. And in another age, she'd be playing, you know, local bar somewhere in Palookaville.
Yeah.
But in our age, which is so profoundly bizarre and abnormal, just a little taste of normality, I think, is gold.
Well, you know, she reminds me, not in that way, but when Madonna was, like, unbelievably big.
Yeah.
I used to think, like, her music and her songs are, like, this much better than everybody else. And I feel the same way about Taylor Swift. Like, you listen to everything and it just goes by. And you hear a Taylor Swift song, you sort of tap your feet.
Yeah,
you
know? Shake it off.
Yeah.
Shake it off. Right? You know?
And that one song of hers that I actually half like, as much as I like any modern song, like We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. You know, I just think it's funny, you know.
Even there's something very wholesome. She had a song. I didn't know her songs until I saw this movie. Some I recognized in the movie, but
I can't believe you went to this movie.
I was assigned to do it. It was a labor of labor. Not a labor of love. It was a labor of work.
It's love of labor.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And there's one about, it's her like sexy song where she's doing her like hot dance. But even that, she goes, I don't know the words, but it's something to the effect of the things we do, you know, when we're together and the things we do at night in my dreams. And I thought, even that is kind of wholesome because it's a degree removed.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh yeah, baby, put me up against the wall. It's
like whack.
I'm just dreaming. It's not whack. Yeah, exactly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. To Taylor Swift.
To Taylor Swift.
And did I win the game, Mr. Davies?
No. You guys.
I did. Yeah. That's right.
This is a scam.
Here we go. This is stop the steal all over again.
Stop
here we
the
go.
Steal.
This is great. Like, sitting
it's
across.
Rigged. It's rigged. Mm-hmm.
I feel we both won, Drew.
In a spiritual way.
Yes. Now, do we have time for a cigar?
I won in the sense of I'm getting to leave. So.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, my God. No, I have to go. I have to catch my plane.
All right.
Think. Wait a minute. Let me see.
Yeah.
Do I?
Nah. You can skip it.
No, I got a little time.
Here we go. We're going to go have a cigar.
Bye.
See you next time. DailyWire.com/shop. Go get the game. Also, buy his book.
Yeah.
The book is The House of Love and Death. Buy it. Get it. It's good. See you next time.